It's the Puppet Parent Podcast. In this episode, Z and I will talk about our upcoming Halloween plans, a new Hanukkah show in development, and why Z loves The Voice. It's all coming up next on the Puppet Parent Podcast. There it is.
Hi, everybody.
How's
it
going?
We are the Puppet Parent Podcast. My name is Z.
I'm Chad.
We're puppeteers.
Yeah, we're married.
And we're parents of two boys, except the microphone's pointing down. Is it supposed to be pointing that way?
It is usually pointing down.
Oh.
But I'm looking
at you?
I'm looking at your waveforms right now.
Uh-huh.
Oh, wow. Well. Well, I mean,
my.
It's spiky waveforms, ladies and gentlemen. Woo. No, we're good. This is usually okay. How I have it set up. I have the mic. If you're just listening, I have the microphone set up not straight up, but kind of angling down towards the ground. I don't know why that works. It just does, and I've decided to put that like usual show format in for the recording. It's throwing Z off. Sorry, Z.
It's okay. Like I was saying, we're the Puppet Parent Podcast. My name is Z, and this is Chad. We're puppeteers, we're parents, and we have two kids. We have a 5-year-old and a 7-year-old, both boys. And if this is your first time tuning in and you're wondering who these people are or what we're doing, a quick recap is that the week of March 17th, we started recording these podcast episodes because that was the week that we started including some of the, that was the week that things really started happening for us in terms of things not happening anymore. And then June 1st, we left New York City with our kids and came to Chad's parents' house, but Chad's parents did not have internet at their house, so we needed a place to be able to do our work, like stream our puppet shows, and for me to be able to do my office job. And we were able to secure a residency from Springville Center for the Arts, and we have a residency here in the village of Springville, and we're super thankful for that. And we have continued to stay here past the summer. We just decided that for stability's sake, for our kids and for us, that we would stay on. So here we are still at Chad's parents' house, still in our residency space, Springville Center for the Arts, and still saying a big thank you to all the people who have helped us out. So that's the big recap.
Yay.
How you doing, Chad?
Yeah, I call it our Artsmageddon, Z, where all the performing arts, where you're like, oh, we got checked into the board so hard, but we're like, it's okay. It's okay. We were hustling before. We can keep hustling. And then the summer ended, and all of us are like, I guess we're in this for the long haul. We said we were before, but now we're really in for the long haul. And now we're looking like maybe it'll be a year from today where we're back in New York City, or at least in some kind of like capacity where we were before. Who knows? The arts are always first on the chopping block. When it comes to cuts, right? Because you got to eat first, you know, and like basic necessities. And I mean, who knows? It's kind of crazy here in America where it's like the top billionaires got even more billioned, and everybody else was the opposite, I guess. So we've been streaming shows, and I'm streaming a show after this in a positive note. But I think it's been about a month since our kids went back to school and in streaming school, and everyone, including thankfully finally our friends back in New York City, got their streaming school stuff in order at last. I mean, every school district in New York State has it their own way. So the governor said, hey, you know, if you want to do all streaming, if you want to do like a mix, it's up to you guys. So everybody did, and New York City was like, will they, won't they? I think actually just stopped checking the news for that because it was just so like back and forth about what's happening. But yeah, it's been crazy, and as of today, we're all sick with the cold.
I'm not sick.
Oh, except for Z. That's a little house on the prairie. Kind of a deal.
No, it's not.
No?
That was my biggest concern when this whole thing started to happen, because I knew at the beginning of March that it was going to be really bad, and that's because my friend works for TED Talk sometimes as a cameraman, and he had just filmed a piece called 6 Questions and Answers about the Coronavirus, And that was at the very beginning of March. And he said, you should really be concerned about this. And he's not somebody that is somebody who is reactionary like that. So after that conversation, I went home that night and then listened to a New York Times The Daily podcast about what was happening in China, and then watched a 60-minute documentary about what was happening in China. And then I freaked out. And then I woke up Chad and I said, Chad, the virus is coming and we have to be prepared. And Chad was like, what are you talking about? Because it sounded like I'd gone off the deep end. But I said, no, we need to have medicine. We need to have food and we need to be ready because it's going to happen and nobody's going to know about it. And then we need to just be ready. And I sounded like a crazy person for about 2 weeks. And then all of a sudden it just happened.
And then suddenly the doomsday prepper became a prophet. And she's like, that's right. I told you so.
No, I never said that.
But it was very helpful. You did your research.
Mm-hmm.
You went online. You educated yourself, you know, and you didn't just listen to one source or another. You did a wide spectrum of intelligent, scientific people.
But right? That's also why we decided to stay out here because, well, there's a couple of reasons. One is that our older son really thrives on stability. I mean, all kids thrive on stability, but especially our older son, I feel like he's working on things. We're all working on things, but it's it is definitely like we made a little bit of progress over the summer and we were not interested in backtracking on that. Also, I was just not interested in revisiting anything that happened in March, April, or May. We got through it and it was okay, but once we left that situation, I'm not interested in going back to it until I know that we can get back to a semblance of what our life was like before March 13th.
March 13th, the day that the Friday the 13th that will go down in infamy,
yeah,
as the day at least New York City woke up to the virus.
Well, Broadway went dark on the 12th. So, yeah. I mean, I have the timeline in my brain. And, you know, I keep listening to the daily press conferences from Governor Cuomo because he's been kind of my rock throughout all this. I don't know how everybody else feels about him. I just know that he's been a huge source of solace for me and giving factual information and clear information about what is happening and what is going to be happening in the very near future. Mm-hmm. And that's helped provide a level of sanity for me when there's so much uncertainty. I know that I can look to this person who's making decisions about the state that I live in and know that he's doing the best that he can with an amazing team of people. And there's a woman named Melissa who's his secretary. I also want to give her a huge hug and high five if I ever get to meet her, because I feel like she's amazing too.
Yeah. What's her nickname on the poster? Because you have a poster and it's like Magnificent Melissa or yeah, something.
I bought the poster. I'm a fangirl. So,
some people have movie posters on their wall. Z has Governor Cuomo's commissioned poster of the timeline of the coronavirus spiking and then going back down on our wall.
It is one of the most beautiful things to me because here's somebody who went through one of the most stressful things a person could go through in their life, who is a leader in this moment through that, because we all went through it together, and then used art as a way to process everything that happened. And so when he shared that poster, I was like, I have to have it because you showed us a very personal thing. Like, that was highly personal for him. And to share that, I just wanted to say, yes, that's great. We should all be making art to process what has happened and what we will continue to process, because there will be a point where this is over and there will be residual fallout of trauma for so long. And he speaks to that too in his press conferences. So I don't know. I was just listening to his press conference from today. So I guess that's why I'm like a little bit soapboxy about Cuomo today. But
it's all good.
I feel like that's how I'm able to foresee what's happening, you know. And
yeah.
and feel confident in our choices. That, you know, we're trying to slow the spread. We're trying to keep the curve down. You know, by being out here, it's a lot easier to do that. And the kids are still getting to have their outdoor time. They've been watching American Ninja Warrior, and we made a Ninja Warrior obstacle course in the backyard yesterday, and we timed them. They got faster. It was super fun. So
that's fun.
I want to keep doing that and having different courses throughout the week, or a different course each week. But right now they have the sniffles, so we can't.
Well, we all have a sore throat. So we've been gargling with salt water and drinking liquids and keeping it nice and casual. But the other day we, it seemed like there was a big windstorm and all these leaves were everywhere. So I got the rake and I was down for some cardio, you know. So I raked up a ton of leaves and they dulled into a massive pile where it's like, you know how you get like a pile of leaves that's like so big that you can't push it with the rake anymore? You know, like that's thick, and they were dry too. Like they're only dry the first day, and then they get slimy. But they dove into that. Our cousins came over. They had a good old time playing in leaves, and that just can happen. New York City, you can't bring a rake to the park. I mean, I guess you could.
Well, also, I have to say, like, that was super fun. But then them having a sniffle or a cough, like Leaf has a sniffle and a cough. He's our 7-year-old. Mm-hmm. And it's the first sickness of any kind that our family has had since March.
Yes.
I mean, we can't live in a complete bubble, so it has to be okay that they could have a little cold in the fall. But it makes my anxiety, like, high because they're not allowed to get sick. No one's allowed to get sick right now because then you have to start questioning, what is it, you know? Because you're already trying, like, we're living with your parents, and mm-hmm. The love level for your parents has just continued to go up in my book because they're amazing and they've just been so wonderful taking us in and so nice. And I'm just constantly thinking to myself, okay, we have to do everything we can to make sure that we are safe for them. And because what if we were asymptomatic and we didn't know, like that would be horrible. And now the kids have a sniffle and I'm like, are you okay? Like... It's a virus. I mean,
no. As soon as this morning, where you see like they're starting to get sick. Oh man, yeah. I had that total, not like oh my god, the virus, you know, but just like the feeling of like, what if this was the virus, and you feel extremely guilty for your choices, you know. So I've felt confident that okay, this is just a little bacteria in the back of the throat, just a little cold. It's gonna be okay because. We're not the type of family that's like bored and ready for this to be over. I mean, yeah, we're all ready for this to be over, but we're not ready for this to be over in a way that puts everyone else at risk or it messes up plans because, you know, you unintentionally spread something. So I'm feeling good that mm-hmm. it's just a cold. We don't go out. We don't go out to eat. You know, with very limited contact with the outside world. And then I feel like that's what our governor is saying to do.
Yeah.
You know, and there are people back in New York City, like in our home borough, that disagree. And so right now they're doing more like kind of lockdown procedures in certain area codes.
Yeah. But our friends, like, you know, that we have in back in New York City, everybody is doing their best and stuff.
Yeah.
And it just makes me think, you know, about the difference between like pre-COVID to now. Pre-COVID, the kids are in school, they have a sniffle, and I'm like, just work through it. How are you feeling? Do you feel like you can make it through the day? Then you're going to school. Now I'm like, you have sniffle, you have to get better because I am not taking you to the hospital. Because out here, the only doctor they can see is the emergency room because that's the only thing that's covered by our insurance because we live about 7 hours away from here, car drive.
Yeah, and in our country... even though you have insurance, even though we have insurance through the state, it's only good for where we lived back in New York City, which is weird and dumb, but that's American healthcare. Mm-hmm.
So everything out here is out of network unless it's an emergency room situation for our kids. For us, the same thing goes, except that we would still have to pay for the emergency room. So we would have to meet our deductible. Our kids have better insurance than we do. That's okay. Anyway, it's just like, as soon as Leaf woke up this morning and was just clearly like congested and sore throat and not well, I was like, you're getting in the bath. We're making you soup. I'm going to go out to the store later and get the tea that you need. And you're getting better. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, I think I'm way more focused on his recuperation than I normally would be.
Yeah.
Because.
Well, I mean, also, we don't have all the tools.
Yeah, it's true, too.
Like back home.
Yeah, it's not as there's some things that are a lot easier out here because we have help, which mm-hmm. is amazing. That's part of the reason that, like, your parents are just awesome is that they help with the kids a lot. But then there's other things that you're just used to having.
Yeah. Well, thanks for bringing the rice cooker back from the city because I've been using that a lot.
We made sushi for Chad's birthday.
Yay.
Mm-hmm. That's how much we miss New York City. We made sushi for the first time ever. How did it turn out?
Oh, good. I think we talked about the rice.
Yeah, like, we learned
like
things.
I was like, all right, we got to soak the rice. You have to soak the rice for like hours and hours in water in order for it to be sticky rice. Even if you buy sticky rice, it's not going to be sticky unless you soak it, I think. I think that's what I've read. So at some point we'll try for, you know, take two for sushi, you know. But yeah, it felt good to eat things soaked in fish sauce again. Yeah, just like those flavors that I haven't had in like over 6 months. Mm-hmm. You remember when we were saying it was 6 months? We're like, hey, it's been 6 months.
Yeah.
Soon it'll be 9 months.
Yeah.
You know, it's like an Amazon changed Prime Day from the summer to like mid-October. Suddenly everyone is hyper-focused on Christmas. That's all I can kind of hear, you know, around here. Like, it's on TV. It's everywhere. Like, the Halloween in stores started in September, like early September. And now as soon as, like, the second week of October hit, it's gone from stores in terms of, like, selling costumes and decorations, the giant bony skeletons in Home Depot, gone, replaced by Christmas stuff. And so it's just like this, like,
we haven't had Halloween yet.
I know. It's like, it's just strange. But I'm reminded of when we spent, last year, this time, I was spending Halloween in Thailand, which was an experience. Mm-hmm. Yeah, which is, in a lot of Asian countries, it's kind of catching on. Halloween's kind of catching on. In Australia, in like a lot of countries. I feel like it's a cultural export we can be proud of as Americans.
It's
you
fun.
Know? You know, a lot of things I can't see that, but... it's not celebrated in the same way as we do in the States. We were right in the downtown Bangkok at the time, so the only Halloween stuff that you see is stuff in stores, you know, kind of like as decorations, or they have like the store girls that are there to help you with things, you know, in fun costumes, you know, and they had like a bunch of like Halloween stuff. So we go around like we had to go walk through two malls to get to the big mall that we were performing in. And each time we were like, ooh, look, this one has this special Halloween treat. And ooh, look, this one is selling this thing. Wow, I can't believe that. It was fun to have like a little taste of home and Halloween in a different country, or at least in a major metropolitan area. But here we're kind of, I think we're still kind of undecided about how we're going to do Halloween. I mean, costumes.
No, we're not. We just haven't talked about it.
Oh, well, there we go. So, yes, please tell me.
Well, we're not trick-or-treating. We're not going to go trick-or-treating.
Yeah.
But we are going to hide candy like it's Easter.
Yes.
And there's going to be some other activities like bobbing for donuts that are on strings and bowling with little mini pumpkins. And I'll probably set up like a Halloween-themed ninja course, and I found a good, decent copy of Disney's Halloween Treat, which is like the best clip show ever from Disney. Because I had a copy that I had found online like a few years ago, and then it disappeared. Ugh.
Oh, you didn't download it.
No, and I should have. And then
there's
a Magic Mirror copy, which is not as good as the Talking Pumpkin, but whatever. Mm. And then, because it's Anyway, if there's any Disney purists out there who know what I'm talking about, I like the Talking Pumpkin version. But
which
I found a version
first?
That somebody edited together to practically be the version that I'm talking about. I think the Talking Pumpkin came first, and then they made the magic mirror for the at-home VHS release.
Oh.
I'm such a nerd about all this, because all I want is the Talking Pumpkin. So, but anyway, really what I want is the clip show, the original clip show, in the order that the clips were released, with like a little bit of the interludes. And the interludes could be Talking Pumpkin or not. But somebody had the same obsession as me, and I found a copy of it online in a private, it's not on Vimeo, but it's like on their website link.
Like Daily Motion?
It's on Vimeo, but you can't search for it on Vimeo, because I tried to look under that person's account or whatever. I can't find anywhere, but it's embedded in their webpage. So we can watch it, but I can't download it.
Who has web pages anymore? That's kind of amazing. That's very interesting. I'm just wondering.
I think it was a passion project.
Yeah.
And I should just write to the person and tell them, I do have the same feelings about Disney's Halloween Treat. But anyway, so we'll watch that, and I'm gonna make some fun treats, like some fun spooky food
stuff. You gonna dye things green?
No, I thought I would make, like, there's some you can do Rice Krispie treats and make them look like pumpkins.
Yeah.
And like fun things like that, like a different thing each day, you know.
Wow, so multiple days.
Yeah, because they don't get to go trick-or-treating, and, you know, they're...
We're not even going to say the T and T word in the house.
They know. They know already.
Yeah.
Excuse me. And we'll pick up pumpkins sometime in the next week while we're here, but then we'll pick up our carving kit while we're at home, the 28th to the 29th, and bring it back. And
oh, yeah, because we get a serious carving kit because I was done... With we had our friends, our neighbors over to carve pumpkins, because they were from, they're immigrants from Turkey, and they'd never experienced it. And we were like, yeah, come on over. And I think they got the full experience, because they got to try to carve pumpkins with those terrible knives that are like 3 inches long, and you can't hurt yourself on it. But they break and they bend and they're awful. So we got a serious pumpkin carving kit.
It's waiting for us back at home.
Yeah, it's super nice. It comes in its own little case. It's very special looking.
We're driving to New York City October 28th to the 29th, and that's because we're going to vote in person in our early voting location, and the kids need to have their teeth cleaned, and they're behind on their doctor's appointments because they are supposed to have annual physicals. So we want to make sure that they have the immunizations caught up and that they have their teeth cleaned. We don't want to go too long.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I have to get a cavity filled.
Wah, wah.
I'm sad about it. It's been such a long time. I had such a long run of not having any cavities. And it's like the tiniest little cavity, but I'm being a total baby about it. So
it's going to be, you're going to be fine. You're going to be brave. You know, you have to be brave, but I hope you budgeted some time to just sit in the waiting room. I don't know how they do it nowadays with the virus and stuff, but what do you do when you go into the dentist's office? Do you go straight into the chair now because it's all appointments?
Well, at this dentist, because I had cleaning a month ago, which is how I know that I now have a cavity, and everybody was sitting in the office, but they had blocked off chairs, so you could only sit in certain chairs and stuff. And we just kept our masks on the whole time until I went into the back to meet with my hygienist, Frank. I love Frank. He's the best.
Well, you have a relationship with another man, and he cleans your teeth.
He does. And he cares about me, and I care about him. I always ask how his girls are doing. He's got two girls, and, he's Greek, and they go to a Greek school, and just, we talk
That's
each
nice.
Time. And yeah. And he was like, you guys made it okay through everything so far? And I told him where we were located, and I came back just to get my teeth cleaned.
Yeah.
And to get an ultrasound, which, if you're over 40, you should do that once a year.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
No, I actually don't know if the dentist that I go to often is still there, because the last time I went in, it was to get, like, an emergency filling. He's from Florida, so he might have just packed it up and left. But now it feels like, but Florida's, like, less safe of a bet. Like, New York State is like, super low. We only have, like, 1% new cases.
Well, overall, there's hot spots.
Right, but other states, like, you could do a lot worse than New York State at this very moment. I'm looking forward to going back. But I will not be going to get a dentist appointment. But, I mean, you know, maybe in another 6 months. Who knows? Everything's kind of crazy. Work is crazy. I feel like in terms of work, all of us working puppeteers who are streaming over the summer, suddenly the school year hits, and we're like, okay, work just vaporized, vanished once again, because our target audience is going back to school, and then nobody kind of knows. There's a lot of uncertainty, as our friend Christine Cox says. Like, so, mm-hmm. Performing arts centers don't know what's going on. Schools didn't know what was going on. Parents is the same way. So after, like, a month of figuring everything out, hopefully we're in a new place. I'm actually teaching a streaming workshop tomorrow night, which is free to a bunch of puppeteers, sponsored Bo Brown and the Puckin' Puppet Show. Yes. Sponsored through a slam grant. It's gonna have me come in and teach, and outside of, like, the basics about how to stream, it's like a topic everybody wants to know about, like, how do you monetize now? Like, in the summer, I did many streaming workshops that told people, this is how you monetize, this is all the different strategies that we're doing. Now I'm gonna come into to this streaming workshop and tell people, like, that worked before. These are the strategies that we've given up, that we knew we would have to give up because the world is in a different place.
Well, it's also different too because we have two young kids.
Yes.
So, and I have another job that's not the puppet company.
Yes.
So I think that it would be different and our focus would be different if we didn't have the kids. And it was just you and me full on puppet company all the time. Like, I'd be making things to sell right now. I'm sure I would have, like, been one of the first people to start making masks and been making masks full time. Mm-hmm. But, you know, have I made one mask? No, I haven't made any masks. People have made me masks. I had to choose, like, where am I going to focus my energies? And I decided, well, I'll make a puppet over the summer, which I almost completed.
That looked pretty good.
Thanks. And I will complete it at some point. But now we're switching gears, and any extra hours that I have, I've been working on making a puppet for a new show. We have a cast of characters. So I've started the new puppet for this new show, and then hoping to complete that very soon. So,
yeah. So we got a request. Yeah. Having a deadline is the best. Because then you just...
Stressful, though.
I love it, because if you don't have a deadline is, like, one of the crucial elements to starting a project, because if it's just, like, a passion project, who knows? You know, you could just spend all the time in the world on it, and sometimes spending a ton of time on something without knowing that it's going to pan out is not a good thing at all, because sometimes it feels like, oh, man, I've been working so hard on this one thing. And then after all that time, do I still feel the same way about it? Is it going to happen? Who knows? But when you have a deadline, when you're committed to something financially or in, like, a reputation kind of a way, if you, like, once you're, like, all in on something, that's, I feel it personally, that's what I love about creating, because then it's like, okay, well, you have to do it now, you know, like, or else. So, you know, like, I've been developing this passion project for, like, months and months and months and months, talking about it, consumed by it, doing all this research. And suddenly this other project came up, like, we're doing a Hanukkah show, mm-hmm. developing Hanukkah show. And then so, like, putting the passion project on hold, And then just kind of, I just kind of barfed out a narrative for a new story, a Hanukkah story, because I had to, because somebody was asking, what's the story? So I'm like, okay, yeah, you know, and I feel really good about it.
And for me, if I have to make things that fast, it means I have to make a choice. And then you have to just keep going with that choice, mm-hmm. unless there is a fix that you can make that won't take more than an hour. You're not allowed to change anything.
Yes.
And that is, it's hard, but you just have to do it. So, you know, you have to come up with a plan and then just move forward into that plan. Whether you feel confident or not, you pretend. You fake confidence. That's right. In your own self.
What is it? So you believe in the person everyone believes you are, or something mm-hmm. like that. But it just means project confidence and roll with it. But I'm on the writing end, and I've really been enjoying the story that we're making. I feel like the meaning behind the show, what we're trying to communicate through the story, is powerful and something that we've been, as parents, dealing a lot with, and me personally, like, is calming down and how to calm down and what happens if you can't calm down.
We call it emotional regulation.
Oh, thank you. Mm-hmm. I will write that down. A little buzzword for the copy later. Yep, emotional regulation. It sounds good.
Or SEL, social emotional learning.
What? Mm-hmm. See, like, you were on point with all this stuff. So emotional regulation.
This is what I bring to the table, ladies and gentlemen.
That's right.
Late night puppet building and some buzzwords.
Awesome.
Maybe there's some context clues in our work too. Could be. Who knows? More buzzwords.
But so it's got everything. It's like, I'm always happy to write a story that has monsters in it, because monsters can be metaphors, right? But it's also, they're monsters. And
monsters are fun, and it's puppets. And like making fun things.
I feel like there's a real deficit of monsters in Jewish shows, but in Jewish lore, there's so many monsters. Like Stephen Kaplan, who's a friend of ours, another puppeteer, puppet husband, was so happy to share with me this like tome of amazing Jewish stories and a lot of like werewolf stories, and the idea that werewolves and vampires, etc., all sprang from various iterations of anti-Semitism is like, whoa, like there's so much like baked into that, so much to take apart. But really, you just want a fun kids show with monsters. And
so
I feel
we're going to have a new Hanukkah show. Like, very
we're
soon.
We're finally going to have a Hanukkah show,
oh,
really.
Well, and it will be new. So, and that's happening soon. So that's, you know, if you're wondering, like, why haven't I heard from anybody? And also, I haven't been doing the late night puppet builds. And Marika, if you're watching, I've been thinking about you. But there's just a part of me that's enjoying just doing it alone, I think, because I just have been enjoying doing it all by myself and not sharing anything. I haven't even been taking process pictures. So I don't know, maybe that's because I'm sharing so much of my life all the time. Hi, Marika. See, I knew you were watching.
Oh, super fan.
But Marika, I could share process pictures with you if you want.
you've been working on it in secret?
It's not secret, but yeah, I've been working on it.
That's cool.
Mm-hmm. Because you told me you need to get done.
This new one. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's got to be done.
I know.
It has to be done.
Okay. Anyway, I can't read that far away. I'll email you. Yeah, so I've just been enjoying being up late at night. I've been rewatching old episodes of like shows that I really like, and just kind of zoning out for a couple hours. I give myself a timeline that I have to work from now to now, and then if I want to, I can keep going, and then I have to stop at a certain time. And so it's so hard. It's like so much maturity. It makes me like I can't handle it. But it's good. Things are happening. There's this part of me that wants to share it, but then there's also another bigger part of me that's like enjoying keeping it to myself right now. Maybe I'll share the next thing that I'm making, but I'll definitely share the end product.
So we've been we have existed for 10 years as a company without a Hanukkah show for some reason. Marika says I support art and Netflix. That's nice.
Yeah.
Binge watching reality TV shows has always been your jam.
Well, it's not always reality TV, but I find that one to be easy because other things I want to like watch all the parts, whereas reality TV I can listen and look up occasionally. Mm-hmm. But don't worry, it's just The Voice. I'm just watching old seasons of The Voice because I fell off the wagon for a while, but I'm catching up. So, and there's a new season that just started, and I love that show. And I just finished the season that had Jennifer Hudson on as a coach for the first time, and she was just amazingly inspirational. Like one of my takeaways from Jennifer Hudson was this quote that was said, don't let someone else's ugly steal your beautiful, or something like that. And I was like, yes. And
that's a good one.
Yeah, I wrote it down. I have it actually over there now, but and I think I got it a little wrong, but it's very close to that. And so if you're ever looking for an inspirational show, I find The Voice to be awesome. And that season, the Jennifer Hudson first season.
Oh. Is she a singer?
Jennifer Hudson?
Sing one of her songs, yes, please. Yes. Remind me.
She gained a lot of fame in Dreamgirls.
Okay.
That movie that won a lot of awards.
And right, about the Supremes.
Mm-hmm. And so she was on Idol, American Idol, and she was, I think, a runner-up, like number 7 or something. Okay. But then she went on to have this amazing career, and Dreamgirls was really what did it for her. Mm-hmm. And then she was also in The Color Purple on Broadway and had the lead in that, and she's just got a powerful vocal. And then she's also had a lot of tragedy in her life as well.
That is perfect for that show.
Well, the tragedy happened after she was so famous. Very sad.
I don't mean to make light of anyone's.
Anyway, no, it was very, very sad.
No, it's totally a trope, though, is like you might have all the talent in the world. Unless you have a tragic backstory, you will never be on those singing competitions because it's all about, or even American Ninja Warrior, it's all just about like, oh, man, here's this amazing athlete or singer, but first, let me tell you about their brush with death, or
you know what?
They're gonna find someone in their family where something's not quite right, and they're gonna play that up and bring that person center stage and be like, "This is for you, cousin Jimmy." You know, hard times.
You know what? I know it's like emotional, like. I don't even can't think the right word for it, but
emotional porn.
Oh, okay.
That is what it's called.
Well, anyway, I don't mind it in like 1 hour chunks. Okay. And the voice it's only like that at the very beginning of the season because you're getting to know everybody, and then you start to root people on, and it's not always the person with the intense sob story that wins. It's the person with a lot of talent who's there at the end. And
yeah, no, the sob story is just to get you on the show. You have to have some kind of thing, I guess, to get sympathy or to have people connect with you.
Anyway, I think this happens every time I watch it, but every time I watch it, I'm like, Chad, I need to take voice lessons. Like, at some point, I always look over at Chad and say, Chad, I need to take voice lessons again.
But Z, you don't have an emotionally gripping sob story. I mean,
I don't think I would ever be good enough to be able to harmonize to get through the knockout rounds.
Although, because I know you so well, you know, being married, and I'm not going to say it out loud, but I can think of a couple things from your personal history that you would have to play up to get on that show.
Well, one that I'm a puppeteer. That's interesting.
That's interesting, but it's not a sob story. So it would have to be, you know,
I'm not that sob worthy.
No, but there's like some. There's always family skeletons to dig up.
No thanks.
To be like, this one's for you. Second cousin once removed. So I flick the tears a little bit, get somebody out of obscurity.
No, I'll even admit, this last Voice season that just wrapped, there was a point where I was like, could people just get through an episode without crying? Just, you know, because there was so much crying. But it also is hyper emotional. Yeah. And I think that there are people who don't intend to cry, but then you're being asked to think about things like in such a deep way and in such a stressful moments that it's like, and you have all these other people crying around you. It's like permission to cry. Like people expect you to cry. Yeah. So anyway.
It's like a culture of crying.
But that's okay.
Yeah.
That's okay. And it shows your humanity a bit, but.
I guess, but I don't know. See, all right. I'm not bashing The Voice.
I love the show.
It's a formula that works. All those shows. I'm just pointing out similarities. But it would be interesting, I think. Mm-hmm. Maybe it wouldn't make for good TV, but it would be interesting to have a competition where everyone is just like, I'm just here to sing. And that's it.
There yeah, are it, people it, like that,
like
too.
Like a real competition. When you go to see like a slam, you know, when you go to see a bunch of different people perform, it doesn't have to be in a competition. You're not presented with much of like an emotional backstory and video and audio of just like telling you like the ups and downs. Maybe you have somebody vamping before you get on stage, talking a little bit about like this person is so great and like a hype man. But they just go up there and do their thing, and then, you know, that's it.
It's like 70% who you are as an artist and your level of talent, mm-hmm. and how you're able to improve as the show goes on. And it's 30% who you chose as a coach and how yes. they are able to motivate the crowd and fan base who watches that show to then vote for you to go on to become like a finalist.
I get it. And it's the dancing marathons of today.
It is a bit, I guess, but I enjoy it very much. And yeah. Of all the shows, it's a very, very positive one. And I've gotten some nice tips watching it. So
see, you're learning
as a performer. Hey, speaking of performing, I would be remiss while I play with my braid. I would be remiss if I didn't mention that on the podcast that I am a lead character on for Sesame Street came out this last week.
Yay.
Foley and Friends. So if you are looking for a really fun podcast to listen to with your kids, check out on Audible, Sesame Street podcast, Foley and Friends, and I play Foley. And there's one episode out right now, and they are intending to release an episode every Tuesday and Thursday going forward. So there will be more episodes to check out in the coming weeks. It's very exciting. So I hope that you'll give it a listen. And if you like it, you can always star things in Audible and on Amazon. I mean, if you like it, you know, I'm not telling you to do that.
You should go on to Amazon or Audible, excuse me, and give it a review. Come on. If you're fans of this show, if you are fans of Z, she's got a great sob story, let me tell you. But
stop.
Really...
Is this my voice moment?
Yeah.
Oh.
That's right. You aren't here to make friends, but you are here to cry.
I am super excited about it, though. And there's just one episode out right now. So I want you guys to listen to that and listen to all the other ones and just love it, love it, love it. And tell your friends and share it. And Audible has a 30-day free trial. So if you're like, oh, I'm not sure if I can make it... to pay for Audible, you can just try it and then you can hear it. Okay. Yeah. And then, you know, if you like it, you can put little stars next
definitely
to it.
Definitely like it. Sign up for free and then like the pod and then like the Sesame Street podcast.
And tell them that Foley sent you.
That's right. No, I'm so excited. Congratulations.
Thank you.
You did it. It's out there.
It is. It's now your... I just want people to like it.
Yeah.
Okay. Like, true story, like, I mean, there is definitely a part of me that's like, what if they don't like it? But I want everybody to love it, you know? I mean, but that is the performer in me, is like, I just want everybody to like it and to like me and to just be, I just want to be liked. So I just like it. I hope yeah. you like it. And we worked really hard on it, and it just gets better and better. That's the thing too, is like, if you think episode one is good, just wait, because it just keeps going and getting better, and I find more fun in her and the character and everything. So yeah mm-hmm. I might have some newspaper articles coming out soon, so
oh my,
we'll see. No promises.
I remember you were getting interviewed over the phone, but you had to leave the house because the phone reception was not good. Yeah. in a rural house way out in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah
mm-hmm. Which is cool that somebody was, you know, was willing to be like, all right, I'll call me back, or we call you back or something. It's funny to be interviewed by somebody and be like, hold on, the reception here is actually terrible.
Well, we can blame everything on the pandemic right now. So.
Yes, you can. Yeah, and we're going to blame things on the pandemic for a while yet to come. We'll see, right? So, mm-hmm.
Anything else about puppeting or parenting or podcasting?
I think we talked, I think we talked it out. It's been 2 weeks. You hurt your back last
week.
Oh,
that's right.
Right before we were going to record.
That's why I didn't come. I actually, so I slept weird 2 nights in a row. I mean, we've all done that. You think you're asleep, and then you wake up, and you're like, you move, and you're like, oh, man, what just happened to me? So that happened to me 2 nights in a row where somehow I slept on my stomach, which I never do that. But I must have been sleeping on my side, and we're sleeping on new beds. Like, not a new bed, but we moved. We were in the basement for all the summer, and then we moved up to the, like, lofted bedroom space for the winter because it's warmer and other reasons too. But I think that mattress is softer in some ways because I don't know, if I'm sleeping on my side, I just have this tendency I'm noticing to tilt in, and then I wake up and I'm on my stomach. Well, one night of doing that, and my lower back was like, I don't like that. And then two nights of doing that, my lower back was like, no. And now we have a problem. And I said, I hear you. I hear you. I will be careful. And so I thought I was being careful. And then Chad said, and he's so loving, he has stuff with his neck and back. He said, I have stretches that I'll show you. And I was like, oh, should I do them now? And he's like, yeah, that'll help. And I was like, okay, great. And so I tried the first one, and I zigged when I should have zagged. I don't know, but something went somewhere. And I was like, nope, nope. And now I'm out of commission. Like, can't do anything without it hurting, including breathing. Like, I literally couldn't take a breath without my lower back saying, I hate you. So, and I was really trying to do this podcast. We got into the car, we drove all the way here, which is like a 10-minute drive, so it's not that far, but still, like, when you're uncomfortable, it feels like forever. And going down the stairs, because we're in this, like, fallout shelter bunker, was, like, the worst thing ever. And then I thought, how am I going to be able to sit in a chair for an hour and talk like things are great? Like, you know, I can't do that.
No, nobody wants to hear that.
So,
at all, so
no,
you know, so
no. So I just went home, put some Tiger Balm on it, got a heating pack, and then took a few days to be really careful with myself. And now I'm pretty much all better.
Are you ready to look at some stretches? Because I think I've apologized a million times for showing you a stretch that hurt you, but can I share with you my favorite video of this?
Yeah, you can share with me the video.
Australian and then yoga instructor who's like, this video is for old people. You can do this while sitting.
Well, today's been 1 week, so I'm gonna take another 3 days and not do anything at least. And then my hope was that I was going to start using, your parents have a treadmill down in the basement, and I want to start trying to at least walk / run 1 to 2 miles a day on that at night after the kids are in bed. But I don't know if I can get
it
together.
Grandpa has been watching a lot of movies down there.
Do you think it'll be distracting to him?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I don't know when I'm going to do that then. But I think part of the problem, too, is that I've just been inactive. Because in New York City, even though I didn't have an exercise regimen, we live in a third floor walk up. So I was constantly doing lots of stairs all the time. And I would walk everywhere, walk up to the subway, walk down the subway, like just walking. And here I just don't have the need to walk like that. And I think that in combination with sleeping weird and stress, because I do think it all talks to each other, it was just like a great big ball of
against you.
It does. And it was like a ball of pain right there saying, well, now you just get to sit and do nothing and think about what you've done or haven't done.
But we were able to keep you, and you did a great job about not relapsing and hurting yourself more, which is something that, like, if you experience extreme back pain where it feels like you just got stabbed, that's not the end, because even if you're trying to take care of yourself and, like, get into a good position and not move, there's still a possibility that you're going to re-injure yourself more, because if you, like, once you've strained something in there or up here or something, you are more at risk for hurting yourself more. So you got to be ultra careful. So you did a great job in playing it safe, you know, and being on light duty. So congratulations, you got through it. I'm so sorry that it happened.
Yeah, me too.
You know, but now, like you said, we gotta, now you have to take care of yourself and you have to start being proactive instead of reactive with your body health.
Yeah, it was easier when the exercise was just built into my life. Now I have to like plan it.
Yeah.
Which, ugh. Anyway, I'm gonna try mm-hmm. and do things, some things.
Oh, why don't you get some? Yeah, you saw like that little biking foot thingy that you could just do while you're working, right? Maybe I'm not being serious, but
oh, no, the treadmill seemed like a nice option. Yeah. So I just have to figure out a time that mm-hmm. I can do that. Maybe it'll be early morning. Would that wake anybody up?
No, maybe you could hook up your laptop so you could work and walk.
No.
Okay.
I don't want to do that either.
I'm all about multitasking.
I'll listen to a podcast maybe.
Okay.
Or watch something. But I'm not going to do things while I'm mm-hmm. doing that. Mm-mm.
So, we are the, speaking of podcasts, we are the
are
Puppet
we
Parent
excited?
Podcast.
I don't know.
You can listen to all the archives over at puppetparentpodcast.com. We have all the MP3s just kind of dumped in there. We're on all kinds of streaming platforms, and there's a list of them over on that website, including Spotify, and I can't remember the others, but just mm-hmm. so. But we record live Sundays at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time over on our Facebook page, over at WonderSpark or Facebook.com/WonderSparkPuppets or YouTube.com/NYC Puppets.
Yay!
So thanks so much to everybody who joined us, and we will see you next time.
Next week.
Yep. Bye.
Bye.